Let's all stand tonight for the reading of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. The book of Revelation, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 12 and 13 tonight. Revelation, chapter 2, 12 and 13. Say amen when you found that scripture this evening.
Amen.
We'll read both of these verses together. Revelation, chapter 2. Read with me in verse 12. The Bible says, "And the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, and where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." You may be seated.
Here in Revelation chapter 2 this evening, tonight's message is entitled Spiritual Warfare. Spiritual warfare. And how many of you agree we're in a battle? Amen? We are in a battle. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, "These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where" who? Satan's what? Seat is. And I love the fact that God doesn't call it a throne. Satan doesn't have a throne, he just has a seat. Satan's seat is, "and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where" who? Satan what? Dwelleth. Where Satan dwelleth. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we ask you for your Holy Spirit's power and touch. We ask you to put aside all the distractions in our minds and help us to focus on your word, and help us to leave encouraged, strengthened, and prepared for spiritual battle. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Where Satan dwelleth. You know, some encouraging things about Satan is that he is not omnipresent. He is not everywhere at once. You cannot use the excuse, "Satan made me do it," because he probably wasn't there. He doesn't have omnipresence like God has. He's stuck in one area. He also is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything that's going on, everything that everybody's saying in his mind. He wants to be like God, but he's not God.
That's right.
And he has to have help. Look in chapter 12 of Revelation, back a couple chapters. One reason that he does know a lot that's going on and what's going on is because he has help. He has some helpers, some fallen angels that are called demons now. Revelation 12, 7, "And there was" what? War. Where? In heaven. "Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." So who also has angels? Satan does. "And prevailed not." So is Satan and his angels more powerful than Michael and his angels? No, not only is Satan not more powerful than God, he's also not even more powerful than God's angels. I like that. "Prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Praise the Lord. Verse 4, it tells us that he convinced one-third of the angels to follow him against God Almighty. A third, he got a third with his tail, the stars of heaven, that's the angels of heaven, and cast them down to the earth. So he pulled a third of the angels away from God. You know, Satan is a counterfeiter. He's a counterfeiter. It means he's not the real deal. He tries to mimic the real deal. Satan wants to be a king, but he only ended up being a prince. You know, Satan never even arrived at the name of king. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's referred to as a prince in the Bible. God never gives him the title of king. Amen. He's a counterfeiter, though, and he has tried to become like God Almighty. He wants to be like God Almighty. In order to be treated like God, then he has to have worshipers, and he tells the angels that follow him as their God what to do. God, little g. God is angels who have different jobs and different levels of authority. Notice it said Michael and his angels. So Michael had a certain level of authority and had angels following him and his level of authority. And if Satan's going to be like God, then what's he going to have to do with his angels? He's going to have to set them up in the same order that God has his set up and give some more power than others and have some angels following other angels. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Something we need to be aware of is that Satan and his angels are fighting all the time a spiritual warfare around our heads and around. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God, in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say to him, thus saith the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry, he does call him king of Tyrus. All right, he got one slipped in there, but it's a little K. Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. This is talking about who? Satan. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. And it goes on down to verse 19, talking about Satan and his fall. Now Satan has set his demons over different parts of the world, and they are in charge of trying to promote Satan and attack God any way they can. Look at Daniel chapter 8, verse 1. Daniel 8, 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Uli. So just like Joseph this morning had a vision, God gave Daniel a vision, a dream. In the night, look down at verse 15. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Now, who do we know that Gabriel is? It's an angel. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. Skip down to verse 27. He goes on and explains the vision of Daniel. Verse 27, and I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with what? Fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. You know, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Look, when we're going to the Lord to pray, we've got to get ourselves right first.
Amen.
We've got to get ourselves right first. We cannot expect God to answer our prayers while we're living in sin.
Yep.
We've got to confess it and forsake it. We got to get ourselves right first. And notice he comes with supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You know, we heard at the Bible conference we were just at, some great preaching and teaching on prayer. And one of the pastors stopped on fasting for a minute and said serious prayer involves fasting. Truly serious prayer, fervent prayer, involves fasting. Now, fasting is not something we in America like to talk about. I don't preferably like to talk about it myself because I love food. But if we really want to get a hold of God about something, we got to clean ourselves up, get clean before the Lord. And if it's really important to us, then it's worth missing a meal to pray about. Fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And he prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. So first he confesses his own iniquity, and then who else's iniquity does he confess? His nation's iniquity. When's the last time you in prayer confessed the iniquity of America? Confessed their iniquity. We have sinned and committed iniquity, have done wickedly, never rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Can you just hear as Daniel is pouring his heart out to the Lord in this prayer? But unto us, confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are afar off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing. Have you ever heard a North Carolina preacher pray? If you're looking at me with deer in the headlights, the answer is no. But I kind of see Daniel here, I mean, just getting into North Carolina preacher mode when it comes to prayer and just lifting up his voice on the banks of the river here and crying out to God. Look down at verse 18. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying, and confessing what?
Sin.
My sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord God, before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly how swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. As he's burying his soul in his heart and crying out to God, someone touches him on the shoulder. And there's Gabriel. Verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art what?
Greatly beloved.
And how often did Daniel pray?
Three times
a day. You know the song, evening and morning and at noon, will I pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice, he shall hear my voice, evening and morning and at noon.
Daniel took prayer seriously.
Amen. You know, Daniel didn't have to start working on his prayer life when he woke up in the lion's den. I mean, you can get some serious prayer going on as you're going into the lion's den. But Daniel was praying three times a day fervently while he was second in command of the kingdom. You know, we need to pray as fervently when everything is all right. If we'll pray as fervently when everything is all right as we do when everything is all wrong, we'll be okay all the time.
Amen.
So here's Gabriel telling him, and he says, he calls Daniel greatly beloved. You know, God loves to hear us pray, and God loves it when we speak to him. How many of you parents, you love it when your child brings you something? You know, they come to you with a problem or something, they want to talk to you about it. Doesn't that just make you feel special? You know, it makes God feel special as our Heavenly Father to come to him in prayer. Greatly beloved, he calls Daniel. And consider the vision. Gabriel tells Daniel what that vision meant. Now look at chapter 10, verse 1. Daniel has several visions. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. How often do we give up in prayer after 3 full minutes? Or maybe 3 full hours or 3 full days? Daniel was praying for a certain prayer request and mourning for a certain prayer request 3 weeks. He really wanted God's answer in this prayer. He'd been mourning, praying for 3 weeks. Verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hidekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me and into corruption, and I retained no strength. You know, Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the land of unclean lips. You know, the closer you get to God, the more you realize how unclean you are. If you think there's nothing wrong with you, you may not be very close to God, because the closer you get to God, the more he reveals our unrighteousness and the more we see how much his righteousness is what we need. And here's Daniel. My comeliness was turned into corruption. I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man who? Greatly beloved. How many would like to be greatly, called greatly beloved of the Lord? That means we need to have the prayer life of Daniel, amen. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the what? First day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. And how long has he been praying? 3 weeks. He's been praying for 3 weeks. He said, the person speaking to him says, from the first day that you started to pray, that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Let me just say, from the first time you pray, God hears you. And the first time Daniel prayed, God heard his words. But what happened in verse 13? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. The prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, who is talking to Daniel here? An angel, right? And it's Gabriel again. Gabriel's talking to Daniel here. And he said, I started on my mission out to give you your answered prayer 21 days ago. But the prince of Persia withstood me 1 in 20 days. So you think that this is a physical prince of Persia we're talking about here that withstood an angel? No, we're talking about a demon who had the area of Persia as his watch care from Satan. And that demon had been fighting against the deliverer of the message and holding him back from bringing the answer to Daniel so that Daniel would get what? Discouraged. So Daniel would get discouraged and think, God's not hearing my prayers. God's not listening to me. You ever prayed and the answer didn't come when you thought it would and you got a little discouraged? It may not be that God didn't answer your prayer. It may be that Satan was hindering that prayer. Or a demon was fighting against the angel that was bringing the answer to that prayer. And maybe you gave up praying too soon. So here he is coming to bring him the answer, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 in 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So you had a war here, you had a little battle going on, a little spiritual battle. You got Gabriel and Michael fighting against the prince of Persia, whichever demon that's going to be, and they finally overcome him, and Gabriel gets through, and Michael's still back fighting. So he says, now I am come to make thee understand, verse 14, what shall befall thy people in latter days? For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, I became dumb. Behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, but by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to what? Fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. So you have a battle of angels going on right here. Angels versus demons going on right here. And let me just say, every time you pray, there's a spiritual battle that goes on. And every time you pray, we win. Prayer is powerful and important. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. And I also, in Gabriel again, says, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to what? Confirm and to strengthen him. So you had a good angel here confirming and strengthening Darius as the king. And this is an ungodly king, but you have a good angel here strengthening and battling the demons of hell back to strengthen and confirm Darius as king. There's a spiritual warfare going on around our heads all the time. Many times we're blind to it. You know, Psalms 91:9 says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Matthew 4:5-6, then the devil taketh him, talking about the devil tempting Jesus, taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, and it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Matthew 18:10, Jesus is saying, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. He's talking about children. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels, how many of you in here are a child? Please raise your hand. Their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. You know what's wonderful is that angels fight for us. Angels fight for us. We are in a spiritual warfare, and Satan isn't playing around. He's walking around like a what? A roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, the wonderful thing is Satan just can't walk up and devour you. He's got to find the person that's weak, that's spiritually weak, that has strayed from the herd, so to speak, the one that's vulnerable by itself, or the one that's spiritually sick. You know, if you look at lions, lions go after the babies. Lions go after the ones that are sick, and lions go after the ones that are, they can get one away from the herd. They'll attack them and get that one by itself. But there's strength in the herd. You know, they can't just run and attack the herd. You got the bulls that'll stand around and they'll guard they'll try and get the babies and things in the center and keep them, because the bulls have horns. And when you get a bunch of cattle trampling you in the stampede, you don't last long. And then I say there's strength in the church. And when you want to get out of church and get off by yourself, you're in the perfect position for the lion, Satan, and his demons to get around you and attack you and take you down spiritually. Yep. You know, one good reason to stay in church is because there's strength in the herd.
Amen.
Not trying to compare us to cows tonight, but there's strength in numbers. Iron sharpeneth iron. Hey, we're supposed to encourage and edify and lift each other up. We're the church body fitly joined together. We're a team. Church is important. But an encouraging thing is that we have angels defending us and fighting for us, bringing our prayers back and forth. Isn't that neat? A little prayer angel flying back and forth. Well, they're not little, but... You ever seen the commercial where the little angels are flying by the tire and, you know, hit a thing and then come back? They're probably not those little angels. I think we got big angels, but Satan is outnumbered and his power is limited. He might have 1/3 of the angels with him against us, but there are 2/3 of the angels against him and for us. So if Satan has 1,000,000 demons, God's got 2,000,000 angels. If Satan has 1 billion demons, God's got 2 billion angels. No matter what Satan has, he's doubly outnumbered. We're just going to continue to pray to keep him weak. Luke 22:31 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Let me just say, Satan desires to have our children. Satan desires to have the members of this church. Fill your name in there. Satan hath desired to have you. But can we say, "But I have prayed for you"? Brother Victor, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. But Brother Steve DeSantis has prayed for you. But Nathan Himmerich has prayed for you. But Bob Houseneck has prayed for you. But Brother Micah Carvel has prayed for you. But Jacob Guyton has prayed for you. But Stephen DeSantis has prayed for you. But Cynthia Himmerich has prayed for you. But your wife has prayed for you. But Christy has prayed for you. But Wesley has prayed for you. But Joe Masana has prayed for you. Let me just say, church, Satan hath desired to have Victory Baptist Church. Satan hath desired to have you. Are we holding each other up in prayer? Are we putting a hedge of protection around each other in prayer? 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith," verse 9 says. Resist the devil steadfast, how? In the faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. We're coming to a close tonight. How many of you are too warm? Raise your hand. A little warm in here. I think the air is on. Ephesians chapter 6. You all know this passage, the armor of God. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So can you stand against the wiles of the devil?
Yes.
Absolutely. You're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Who are we wrestling against? Satan and his demons. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Well, would God tell you to stand if you couldn't stand? No. So can we stand? Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench, how many? All the fiery darts of the wicked. So can any weapon that Satan has reach you if you have the shield of faith? No. If you put on the whole armor of God, can he stand against everything that Satan throws against you? Yes. So if you're falling to Satan's attack, it's because you don't have what on? The whole armor. You don't have the whole armor on. If you're falling to a sin, if you're falling to some sin in your life that Satan's attacking you with, you're falling because you don't have the whole armor on. So you need to investigate and say, what am I missing? What am I missing? Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I think we forget verse 18, but what's the next two words there, verse 18, praying always. You know, part of your armor is praying. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who? For all saints. You know, Satan hath desired to have Mark Davis the third. Fourth? Third. Satan desired to have Mark Davis the third. Satan desired to have Anthony Davis. Satan has desire to have Christy Davis and Becca Davis and Alexa and Stephen DeSantis and Morgan and Kaylin and Rachel and Dominic and Wesley and William and Kimmy and Grace and Victor and Julia and Kendra and Sarah and Stephen and Rachel and my brain's starting to slow down. Hold on, Tierra and Mikey and Caleb, and Hannah, and Peter, and Danny. Satan desires to have our kids. Can we say about our own family, but I've prayed for you? If you're not praying for your kids, who is? Satan's desire to have your kids. Have you prayed for them? Have you prayed for them? James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Say it with me. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Does it say he might flee? Does it say he'll think about it? No, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, when the devil comes up to somebody who's resist him, he'll go find an easier target. He's a coward. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Look, folks, now is the time to resist the devil. We get to rest when we are in heaven. And we cannot afford to lay down our armor until our race is done. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Can we as a church say, but I've prayed for you? Can I as a pastor say, but I've prayed for you, Steve DeSantis? But I've prayed for you, Chad Schultz? But I've prayed for you, Frank Carr? But I've prayed for you, Mike Clark? But I've, when I get going so fast, my brain has to catch up, you know. Satan hath desired to have you, Rob Rhines, that he may sift you as wheat. But church family has been praying for you. Satan desired to have Joe Masana and Mike Kreiner, but your church family has been praying for you. Satan desired to have Jared Carvel, but the church has been praying for you. Let's not let down our guard in prayer, one for another. Let's hold each other up in prayer, because it's vitally important. We're in a spiritual warfare. There are angels bumping feathers in here tonight. All your angels are shoved in this one place or hovering up there, or I don't know how big they are. Maybe one's standing, you know, over there in this spot right there. She doesn't squish nobody. Our guardian angels are hovering around this place, and where two or three gather together, Jesus is in the midst of us too. Let's keep that hedge, the hedge of protection about us. And how do we stand in the gap and put a hedge about us? Prayer. How did Moses stand in the gap and keep the hedge about Israel? Prayer. How did Samuel put a hedge about Israel? Prayer. How did Job have a hedge placed around his family? Prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for a hedge of protection about this church, every one of the members in it, Lord. God, we ask you to help us to put on the whole armor of God and resist Satan, that he will flee from us. We ask that you would strengthen each and every one of us, Lord, as Satan has desired to have us, that he may sift us as wheat. And God, we ask us to claim the power of prayer and never let it go. And help us to understand we're in a spiritual warfare. And when we leave the buildings, this building, Lord, the spiritual war hasn't ended. It's just begun for the day. And God, I pray you please guide and protect us this week. Help us, Lord, to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Put a hedge of protection about each and every one of us, Lord. Help us to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Keep us pure. Give us wisdom. Help us to obey the authorities in our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.